Welcome back to Modeling Winners, where every day we study one life worth modeling and pull out a few winning tactics you can actually use. Today's episode is Alan Mulally. At first glance, this looks like a story about saving Ford Motor Company from $17 billion in annual losses. It is really a story about courage, the kind that mortgages everything you have, including a 100-year-old logo, rather than take the safe way out. To understand what Alan Mulally did when he walked into that burning building in 2006, you have to understand what he became, a leader who clapped when someone finally told him the truth. Biography of Alan Mulally, The Hero's Crucible. They told him Ford was already dead. You know the one. It sat on the grills of Model Ts that crossed the country when roads were dirt. It hung on dealership signs in every town from Maine to California. By 2006, that oval was worth exactly nothing. Ford Motor Company was burning through $17 billion a year. Not revenue, loss. Every 12 months, $17 billion vanished, salaries unpaid, suppliers stiffed, assembly lines that ran on credit fumes. The company was one bad quarter from liquidation. They needed someone to walk into the fire. His name was Alan Mulally, but you probably don't know the rest of the story. He came from the sky. Alan Mulally wasn't a car man. He built airplanes. For 37 years, he worked at Boeing. He led the team that designed the 777, the first commercial jet developed entirely on computers, no physical mock-ups. He turned around Boeing's commercial aircraft division after September 11th, when the entire airline industry collapsed overnight. He knew how to manage complexity. He knew how to move fast when the ground was crumbling. Ford's board saw that and made him an offer. Come save us. Mulally drove to work his first day in Dearborn. He saw the parking lots, rows of Toyotas and Hondas owned by Ford's own engineers. He walked the factories. Workers wouldn't meet his eyes. Executives gave him reports that said everything was fine, even as the company bled cash by the minute. He asked one question in his first executive meeting. How many brands does Ford own? They counted. Volvo, Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin, Mazda, Lincoln, Mercury. 8 brands, each one designed separately, each one sold separately, each one losing money separately. And how many of them are Ford, he asked. Silence. You see, they'd forgotten what they were supposed to be building. The Crucible. He bet the logo. By 2008, the American auto industry was in free fall. GM and Chrysler lined up at Congress with their hands out. The government wrote checks, billions in taxpayer money to keep them breathing. Alan Mulally did something else. He walked into Ford's board meeting and said, "We're mortgaging everything. Not most things. Everything. The factories in Michigan and Kentucky and Missouri. The patents for a century of engineering. The intellectual property. The designs. The trademarks. Even the blue oval itself." He put it all up as collateral for a $23.6 billion line of credit. Private money, not taxpayer dollars. The banks took one look at Ford's balance sheet and said yes, but only because Mulally was willing to risk the brand if he failed. One executive asked, "What happens if we can't pay it back?" Mulally looked at him and said, "Then we don't deserve the name." And then he went to work. He clapped for failure. Mulally started something called the Business Plan Review. Every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. sharp, every executive showed up with a chart. Green meant on track. Yellow meant at risk. Red meant crisis. Week 1, all green. Week 2, all green. Week 3, all green. The company was losing billions, and every chart in the room glowed green. Mulally stood up. He said, "We are failing. If no one here can admit it, we will die." Silence. And then Mark Fields raised his hand. Fields ran Ford's Americas division. He put a red chart on the screen. The Ford Edge launch was broken. Parts shortages, delays, dealer complaints piling up. He said, "This is not working." The room froze. In Ford's old culture, showing red meant you were gone by Monday. Mulally started clapping. He stood up and applauded. "Thank you, Mark. Who can help him fix this?" Hands went up. Engineers offered solutions. Suppliers rerouted parts. The Edge launched on time 2 months later. You see, he turned confession into collaboration. From that day forward, the charts started showing yellow, then red. Executives admitted delays, cost overruns, design flaws, and the room solved them together. Transformation. The Oval survived. By 2009, Ford was profitable again. Not less broke. Profitable. Black ink for the first time in 4 years. Mullally kept cutting. He sold Volvo. He sold Jaguar and Land Rover. He sold Aston Martin. He killed Mercury. He told the engineers, "We build Fords. That's it. One Ford, one team, one plan." The company repaid the $23.6 billion loan years ahead of schedule. The banks handed back the deed to the Blue Oval. Ford never took a government dollar, not 1 cent. When Mullally retired in 2014, Ford employed over 300,000 people. The stock price had climbed from $1 to $15. The company that was supposed to die had become a symbol of American manufacturing reborn. He saved more than a company. He saved the idea that failure is not final. Closing, the man who clapped. Alan Mullally didn't invent cars. He didn't redesign the assembly line. He didn't write the manual for industrial turnarounds. He did one thing. He made it safe to tell the truth. In a culture of blame, he clapped for problems. In a company paralyzed by pride, he bet everything on honesty. In an industry begging for bailouts, he chose risk over rescue. And because of that, 300,000 people kept their jobs. A 100-year-old company lived to see another century. Alan Mullally. He figured it out. You can too.
Signals to swipe. The moment is ripe.
Let me put it the way a listener might ask it. When does honesty actually matter more than looking good?
Yeah, because most of the time we are rewarded for the opposite. You bring good news, you get the nod. You bring problems, you get blamed.
Right, and that is exactly what was killing Ford when Alan Mullally walked in. The company was losing billions, but every executive showed up to meetings with green charts, saying everything was fine.
Okay, but what does that look like when I am the one under pressure? I've got a team, we are behind, and nobody wants to be the person who admits we're failing.
Mullally had that exact moment. Third week of meetings, all green charts, company bleeding cash. He stood up and said, "If no one can admit we are failing, we will die." One executive finally put up a red chart. Parts shortages, launch broken. The room went silent.
And he fired him?
He stood up and clapped, literally applauded him in front of everyone. Then he said, "Thank you. Who can help him fix this?" Hands went up. They solved it together.
So the move is not just accepting bad news, it is celebrating it?
Yes. Next time someone on your team brings you bad news first, stop everything. Stand up if you're sitting. Clap. Say thank you for being honest. Who can help solve this? Within one meeting cycle, people stop hiding problems.
All right. I will try it once. But if my team thinks I have lost my mind, I'm blaming you.
Now that honesty unlocked something bigger. Mullally realized Ford had forgotten what it was supposed to be. They owned 8 brands, Volvo, Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin, each one losing money separately.
Okay, but what does that look like when I am the one under pressure? I've got 5 projects, 3 priorities, 2 initiatives. Everything feels important.
Mullally looked at that mess and said, "We build Fords. That's it." He sold Volvo. He sold Jaguar and Land Rover. He killed Mercury. He cut until there was only one thing left, the core.
So when I'm sitting in a meeting and I can feel the bloat, what do I actually say?
Ask out loud which of these is actually core to what we're trying to be. Then say, "If it's not X, we stop funding it." Substitute your version. The room will get quiet. Then someone will name the obvious thing everyone was afraid to cut.
That sounds harder than clapping.
It is. And Mullally went even further. By 2008, GM and Chrysler were lining up at Congress for bailouts. He did something else. He mortgaged everything Ford owned. The factories, the patents, even the Blue Oval logo itself.
Wait, he bet the logo?
$23.6 billion in private loans. All of it collateralized by the brand. One executive asked, "What happens if we cannot pay it back?" Mullally said, "Then we do not deserve the name."
Okay, but what does that look like when I am the one under pressure? I don't have a logo to mortgage.
No, but you have the safe path versus the risky bet. Next time you're weighing those, write down the worst case consequence if you fail, then write down the worst case consequence if you play it safe and drift. Pick the risk you can live with.
And say what to myself?
If I'm not willing to bet this much, I don't actually believe it will work. Clarity arrives instantly. Fence sitting becomes impossible.
All right, but that only works if people are actually telling you the truth in the first place.
Exactly. And that brings us back to those green charts. Mullally knew green was the most dangerous color in the room. It told him nothing.
Okay, but what does that look like when I'm the one under pressure? I'm looking at a status report, everything says on track, but I know we're struggling.
Stop the presentation. Ask one direct question. What is the biggest thing that could go wrong here this week? Then say, I need to see yellow and red. Green tells me nothing.
And the next report?
Shows actual risk. The meeting becomes useful. Ford went from all green to red and yellow everywhere, and 2 years later they were profitable again.
So the challenge is, pick one. Clap for the red chart, kill your darlings, mortgage what matters, or stop accepting green. Which one am I actually doing this week?
If this episode gave you one useful signal to carry into the week, subscribe at modelingwinners.com. Free subscribers get one fresh story each week, and paid members get daily episodes, companion audio, accountability nudges, and waffle-style progress charts filling in each day you take action.
Your problem is older than you think. Someone before you stood at the same brink. They had nothing but nerve, no map, no guide. Their ceiling's your floor. Step inside. Pattern recognition, one life at a time. History's best playbook still in their prime. You don't need a mentor, just a better read. Model the winners, take what you need. Steal from the best, they're not using it anymore. Every challenge you face has been solved.